Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Bartlett Regional Hospital has temporarily moved its emergency room entrance as the department undergoes a major multi-million dollar renovation in the coming weeks. Kim McDowell is the chief nursing officer and chief operating officer of the city-owned hospital in Juneau. She says the upcoming renovations will improve both safety and quality of care for patients. It's been nearly two decades since the emergency department was last upgraded.
You know, as our community is aging in place, and as we're seeing more behavioral health kind of emergencies throughout the community, this renovation really will address those concerns and then also address those concerns that we frequently have during crew season.
Some of the renovations include updating the department's HVAC system, adding two treatment rooms, a medication dispensary room, a patient records room, and a new patient entrance. The project's total cost is $13.5 million, paid for using hospital reserve funds, along with congressionally directed spending approved in 2024. The renovations begin in the coming weeks and will take place over the next roughly year and a half through October of 2027. McDowell says the emergency department will remain open and fully operational throughout that period.
Yes, 100%. The emergency room will remain open. It just may be a little dustier than what people are used to, but we're bringing in some extra staff to be able to help because we know that that'll be a challenge with navigation for some.
The new temporary emergency room entrance is now on the west side of the hospital, parallel to Gastineau Channel, instead of on the south side of the hospital. The hospital has placed large signs along the roadway and created a temporary drop-off area to help direct patients. The Juneau School Board will decide on ratifying a contract with the district's teachers union at its meeting on Tuesday night. The Juneau Education Association spent more than a year negotiating a new contract with the district, which escalated to a union vote authorizing a strike. Both parties came to a tentative agreement last month, days after that vote, and union members approved the contract last week. If approved, the contract provides wage increases for the current and following school year and is retroactive. It will also increase the district's monthly contribution to health insurance premiums and will be in effect until June of next year. In a cover memo for the contract approval, the district estimates a $4 million deficit for the year after the contract ends if services are maintained at their current level. The board will also vote on approving a contract for incoming Superintendent Sean Arnold. He's expected to begin the role this July. Arnold was selected last month and is the current principal at Thunder Mountain Middle School. To support the superintendent, the school board is looking at creating an assistant superintendent position, which would replace the outgoing chief of staff position. It's been about 14 years since the district last had an assistant superintendent. Approving a list of capital projects is also on the board's agenda. If approved, the board will send a list of projects, including roof and boiler replacements, to the Juneau Assembly for consideration. From there, the Assembly can decide to put a school bond before voters this fall. The Assembly considered and rejected a school bond last year. The full school board agenda is available on the district's website. The meeting will take place tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Thunder Mountain Middle School Library and on Zoom. Attendees will be able to provide public comment online and in person. And at least three cruise lines have changed their itineraries this year to avoid the Tracy Arm Fjord south of Juneau. The company cited safety concerns brought on by a landslide there last August that triggered one of the largest tsunamis on record. As the Alaska Desk's Avery Elfalt reports, experts say skipping that area is probably a good call.
Carnival Cruise Line, Holland America Line, and Royal Caribbean Cruises have all notified customers that their ships will not be visiting Tracy Arm or Sawyer Glacier, which is located in the fjord, this season. The move comes after a major tsunami struck the fjord last August. Mike West is the Alaska State Seismologist and a director of the Alaska Earthquake Center.
Many different boats and observers rode out this wave and experienced it. The immediate assumption was that this tsunami, this local tsunami, was generated by a landslide.
The U.S. Coast Guard and seismic data later confirmed that assumption. The tsunami was likely more than 100 feet tall in some areas, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. As a result, the cruise lines instead have opted to visit the nearby Endicott Arm and Dawes Glacier. The company has said in emailed statements they've been closely monitoring the area and made the decision based on the state of the waterway and current geologic conditions. Royal Caribbean noted that guest safety is its, quote, top priority. West says it's a smart move.
Anytime you take the side of a, you collapse the side of a mountain, I think it's a safe assumption to assume that you've got an unstable mountainside. It is perfectly reasonable or geologically reasonable that there could be follow-on activity.
Put simply, he adds,
you know, the Earth is getting used to its new arrangement.
Still, he says it's not necessarily fair to assume that other deep, narrow fjords are any safer. Landslide and tsunami risk is widespread in southeast Alaska, and scientists have no tangible way to quantify that risk in specific areas. Dave Snyder is the tsunami warning coordinator with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He echoes West Point, noting that two of the largest tsunamis on record have happened in the region. One was last year's event in Tracy Arm, and the other happened in 1958 in Lituya Bay near Glacier Bay National Park. Snyder says the two events had the highest run-up numbers, or high water mark left on land, in recorded history.
They're extraordinary, unusual events that can happen with little to no notice at all. And because of that, we have to stress those natural hazard warning signs that very well could be the only alert that you get during an event like that.
Those signs, he says, could include frothy or gurgling water, prolonged strong shaking, or a roar from a nearby hillside. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And a nonprofit tribal organization has published a new book that presents Tlingit Raven stories for the first time in the original language with English translations. The 860-page volume brings together 50 stories by seven Tlingit storytellers born in the late 1800s and early 1900s. The stories were transcribed from recordings of oral performances and include some of the oldest known recordings of these stories told in Tlingit. KCAW's Hope McKinney reports.
75-year-old Eshka Daphne Wright grew up listening to her aunt, Catherine Mills, tell her stories of Raven, a cultural hero, world maker, and trickster figure among the Tlingit of Southeast Alaska.
And I can just remember we'd be sitting in the kitchen, around the kitchen table, and it was maybe in the evening when everyone's just kind of sitting around and just kind of a warm feeling and just listening to my aunt's voice.
Growing up, Wright spent school years in Juneau and summers with her family in Excursion Inlet, a cannery near Hoonah. Her mom and aunt spoke Tlingit with her grandmother, but she says she and her sisters and cousins never learned. Wright says reading this book, which features stories from her aunt who was born in 1915 and died in 1993, is like hearing her aunt's voice again.
I miss her so much, you know, and I miss my mother. They were fluent speakers. They were the generation that went to school and didn't know English. And so they suffered. They suffered greatly. And so that was the whole thing. That's what happened. That was the reason why their kids grew up not speaking. We never thought about it. We never said, teach us Tlingit. We didn't. We were just kids. We just ran around. And so it just means so much that there's something here, an actual physical book, you know, that has her stories in it.
This volume has been more than four decades in the making. It's the fifth in a series of books from Sea Alaska Heritage Institute called The Classics of Tlingit Oral Literature, and is the first in the series to be exclusively focused on Raven. Will Geiger is a research specialist with the Southeast nonprofit and has been working on transcribing, translating, and editing the stories for this volume since 2017.
The intention of this series is to present standout examples of the Tlingit oral tradition in a written form that gives them a pretty high level and serious treatment so that whether you do speak Tlingit or not, you're able to appreciate the depth and the artistry and the history and the richness of ideas that have been carried through the Tlingit oral tradition.
This book features a transcribed version of the original recording on the left-hand page that tries to reflect exactly what was said and the rhythm in which it was said. Featured on the facing right-hand page, there's an English translation. Geiger says Raven is probably the most highly developed character in the Tlingit oral tradition, with stories ranging from sacred to silly. In one story, Raven steals the sun, moon, and stars to bring light to the world. In another, Raven constantly bothers an octopus digging for clams. She finally grabs him with her tentacles and holds him underwater, where he almost dies and learns his lesson about disrespect.
Mostly, he appears in the form of a person. And he can change forms. He's like a little rock, a person. He puts on the skin of this kind of snipe-like bird with a long bill and flies around like that. He turns into a woman, a little hemlock needle, and a raven. he turns into a raven, too.
Geiger says while there's a long paper trail of writings about Raven, up until this book, they've all been in English, with the exception of a paperback from the 1970s that was published only in Thlinket to be used by those who already spoke and understood the language.
That is the one text, I believe, in all of history until this one, to actually reflect a Thlinket Raven story as told in Thlinket by a Thlinket person.
For Skakie Heather Powell Mills, a Thlinket language teacher in Hoona, hearing or reading these stories in the original language leads to deeper understanding. And now, she says, people will get to experience these stories from the mouths of their elders long gone with the same cadence and the same emotion.
Hearing our language it's like medicine to us. And hearing the stories of creation help us to better understand and explain to our children how important it is to coexist with the animals, to have a strong connection to the land, to understand where you come from in order to know where you're going.
Mills' great-grandmother Susie James and her husband's grandmother Catherine Mills are both included in the book. She says throughout her life, she's seen many drafts, and she's grateful people spent the time to sit down and record their elders' stories so that they can be shared for generations to come.
We don't have the time we used to have to spend the winters together sitting and transferring that knowledge. I think this is a great way for us to learn and to be able to not only learn with these wonderful ancient ways of being, but learn through our language. It was their dream for us.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Hope McKenney.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 36 degrees and there's a chance of rain and snow showers the rest of this afternoon. We may see some more of that tonight, but it looks like tomorrow could dry out and be sunny with a high of 49 degrees. Tomorrow night looks cold and clear. Wednesday, it looks like the chance of rain may come back throughout the day. And the rest of this week looks rainy. This is KTOO.